Hey, church, welcome to the Westside Church Q&R podcast, where we take questions from you and we do our best to respond in a way that is biblically faithful and helpful, we hope. These questions are brilliant. Let's get started.
Welcome. Matt. Welcome.
Okay, you got to do it again.
Welcome. Hey. Hi. Hey, Matt.
That was a good one. Go back and do that one more time. That was a good one. I won't mess you up.
What
this
was
time.
What did I say?
I won't mess you up.
Welcome?
You just said hi, I think.
Okay. Hello. Welcome. Matthew. Hi.
Hey. Good to see you.
Good to see you. We've got some great questions.
We do. But first, before we get to those, can we just take a moment to discuss you and why your foot is in an elevator? Why you're sitting here like this with your legs up in the air?
It's ridiculous.
Aaron, what happened here? Should I tell? Have you told the church?
The church?
Have you told the whole church yet?
I have
what
not
happened?
Told the whole church what happened.
So let me tell them.
Why don't you tell
Aaron
them?
Aaron had a fall.
I did.
And what's the official diagnosis now? What happened to your ankle? Was it a sprain?
It was a severe high ankle sprain.
And so Aaron's been on crutches, and you're off the crutches today, it looked like.
And yes,
so Aaron, you are being faced with a deep sense of your limitation in this, deeper than ever through this sprained ankle. Would you say deeper than ever?
Sure, because I feel like I can always push through pain, mm-hmm. and I can't walk. So right. I'm very limited and very frustrated how long everything takes me to do. Mm-hmm. It's not fun. Mm-hmm. It is for you, though.
It has been very fun for me.
Matt thinks it's hilarious.
I waited, though. From the time that I heard you had the accident, I sent you a message. I told Cliff, I'm going to wait till Aaron's feeling a little bit better before I make any fun of the fact that you fell off your bike. In the parkade. It was before the bike ride even began.
It was. I took a harsh turn.
You never even went on the bike ride.
I didn't.
No.
And then the passing out and vomiting ensued.
Oh, boy. Okay, I wasn't even going to bring that up.
Well, it was a tragedy.
But on behalf of the church, Aaron, let me just say to you, we are so sorry that you fell.
For my fault.
Yeah,
thank
it's
you.
Terrible.
Thank you.
But you're feeling, it's nice to see you. You're on your feet and you're feeling a lot better.
Yeah, I'm feeling better.
Good.
It's still painful and I'm very slow.
Well, I can imagine the outpouring of love that's going to come to you now from the listeners of this podcast as people reach out and just, you know.
I got a very encouraging message from somebody in the body and he wrote a scripture verse just saying, be strong and of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. There were several translations at play here. So there's the discouraged and dismayed.
Dismayed.
Dismayed. And that really struck a chord, the discouragement part. Mm-hmm. And then it's the Lord your God will strengthen you. And that's what I need. So there were two pieces to that message that were like, yes, I need both of those things.
Don't you love that? I get texts. Like I probably got 3 texts today from people in the body with scriptures. Mm-hmm. Don't you love when Christians send each other scriptures? Yeah. Go, hey, this has been on my heart for you. If anybody out there, you know, has a, you just like, you want to do that and you're just a little bit nervous to do
it.
I just encourage you. There's never, just send those scriptures out to people when something's encouraging your heart, because we need that.
Yeah.
And Lord really does speak through that often.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And his words are more powerful and significant than any other
infinitely
words.
Infinitely more.
I love it.
Yeah.
So yes, but I also just want to mention that you said you were going to withhold the joking until I was feeling better.
Yeah, a little bit better. Not
but
all the way better.
But I was hearing whispers and
things
you were saying to
other
people.
Yeah, I was getting my jokes ready.
Okay.
And I had to work them out with people, but I told them none of this was for you until you were feeling a little bit better.
Okay, well, they shared it.
I can't
and
help
then,
the fact. Yeah.
Church, your pastor sent me a picture.
What? I don't remember.
Of a gurney.
Oh, right. Well, it was for the first Energy Seas last week. I thought we could just wheel you in on the gurney. And
it was the most intense gurney I have ever seen. And he's like, should I pick up one of these for you? So that's where we began.
Oh, but it's all in love.
It's all in love. Okay, we've got some great questions.
We do.
Like really thoughtful, really intentional questions that we want to get to. So Matt, the first question is, what does a Jesus-led career look like?
You know, I like this question. It's a, we get this a lot. Like people often are concerned, maybe this is like the, you know, clergy laity divide thing that happens. Sometimes people have had this sense that if I'm not in full-time ministry, like for a job, getting paid, working for a church, that like, am I really doing, you know, am I really fulfilling my call, whatever? Mm-hmm. And first thing I would just say to a question like this is, I love that you're, whatever career it is that you're in or that you're pursuing, that you're asking this kind of a question. Yeah. Like, what does it look like to be led by Jesus in my career? And the second part of that is just to say, the vast majority of people should be in careers, like, who are called by God. Yeah. You should be in a career outside of local church ministry. And we're so glad that the Lord has you there. So I don't know. Let me give just a couple thoughts, and then I'd love to hear what you think, Aaron. But like, the first thing I would say is, you know, you want to make sure that whatever career you're in, it's actually good for the world.
Yeah.
If you're creating harm or if you're leveraging the flesh, you know, like the corrupt nature in your work to make money.
Yeah.
I think as a Christian, you need to rethink that. More, and I know that can be hard for people to hear because there's lots of industries around us that are actually, that's a real challenge. Mm-hmm. For example, like, and this is a huge field, it could include a lot of different things, but you know, you could be in a marketing field, for example, where it's like you're very used to, when you're advertising products or whatever it is, events or whatever, it's like you actually appeal to, you know, our sinful proclivities and sinful nature to, and that's, as a Christian, is something you need to think about. So you want to make sure that what you're doing is good for the world. Your conscience needs to be clear in what you're doing.
That's good.
If your conscience is convicting you, then you need to get out. You're in the wrong place as a Christian, 100%. Other than that, I think, like, I like Luther, who said, I think it was Luther, love God and do as you please.
Yeah.
I love that. Mm-hmm. It's like, love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then do what you want to do. Because if you're loving him first, if you have your loves ordered in the right way, then as you express yourself in your life and through your passions and things that excite you, the things that burden you, you can be confident that he's with you in it. So I'd say the most important thing is that we are loving him with heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then if I was going to give a third, so the first one is conscience has to be clear. Second one is loving him, heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the third one is, as long as your hands are open and your career is not your identity and you're surrendered to him in it and what you want is for him to do whatever he wants with you, then I think you're free just to be where you are with no hesitation to give yourself fully to your work. Like, you know what I mean by that? Like after giving yourself to Jesus, then I think whatever career fits those categories, man, that's a great career. Go for that. Does that make sense, Aaron?
It's very good.
Would you add anything?
I would not. I was just, in one of your points, I was just thinking of Brother Lawrence's book, Practicing the Presence of God. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And I remember being a new mom when I read that. And I realized that everything I'm doing is ministry, like if I'm doing it unto the Lord. And so I would say that for people. I think sometimes we separate, these are people who are in ministry. I'm not in ministry because I work in this, in, you know, the marketplace or in a secular job. And that is not true. We're all called. And
And that's where career becomes vocation, right? Like, it becomes like, this is the expression of my calling. Whether you're a mom at home with kids or a student, or like you're really working your actual career in some industry, some field in the world. Like we want Christians who understand that they are called where they are. Because we need that. We need we need that for that long obedience in the same direction. We need a sense of call, vocation. That's good.
That's good. Okay.
I'm gonna try to be quicker on these answers, Aaron.
Well, it's good stuff.
Okay.
Okay. In the sermon, it was noted how Stephen asked God to forgive those who attacked him. But in many of David's Psalms, he talks about God giving justice to those who attack him. For us, should we always pray for the forgiveness of those who persecute us? Or how/should we pray David's prayer to God, decreeing justice on those people?
Okay. Yeah, the imprecatory Psalms, right? Those Psalms, you come to them and say, how do I have devotions? How do I have devotions right now when David's talking about, like, dashing these babies on these rocks and, like, it's just terrible.
Like, when the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. And
all of it. Like, it's this, these are hard. Like, how do I do this around my coffee in the morning?
Yeah.
I think, I like the person referenced it, but Jesus calls us to pray for our enemies, to love our enemies, pray for those who persecute us. So that's the short answer. Mm-hmm. We also are told in the New Testament that our enemies are not of flesh and blood. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we are not, as Christians, our enemies are not other people. We are in a spiritual battle. And our enemies are spiritual. Mm-hmm. We are the people around us who hate God and, you know, to use biblical language, who hate God and are in open rebellion against him, which is everybody who's not in Jesus. They are just like we were before we were saved. Mm-hmm. And so we need to have tons of humility and grace and love and compassion. So I would say, yeah, when you read those imprecatory psalms, understand there is a place for lament. So it's a little bit different than lament, but there's a place to cry out against injustice. There's a place to cry out against evil. There's a place to call down God's justice. Just so you know, the way that prayer sounds for a Christian, like it's the whole spirit of the New Testament. The way that prayer sounds is like this. It's the prayer, come, Lord Jesus. That's a cry for justice, because when Jesus returns, he's coming as judge. Everything evil will be dealt with, will be taken care of, which should cause a healthy amount of fear in us also, and sobriety, but it's what we want as Jesus people. I would say when you read those psalms, we are not called as Christians is to take a subset of the human population and to call them our enemies and to pray for God's justice on them the way we see David doing. That was a very different there was a very different understanding of who the people of God were. Our eyes have the scope of the people of God has expanded in the New Testament. We understand that we're spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham, all these different things.
That's good.
But I also think that I would want to say, like, those imprecatory psalms, when you read those psalms, like, we need to be praying those psalms as Christians. We need to be calling fire down on the enemies of God. Mm-hmm. We need to be asking for the justice of God in the exact same way that David and the other psalmists did, understanding that our enemies are not of the flesh and blood. We're in a spiritual war. So I would want to put Jesus' prayer to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Jesus' call to do that. I'd want to emphasize that first and then say God does have enemies and spiritual enemies who are actively at work deceiving, deceiving people, blinding the eyes of unbelievers to keep them from coming to Jesus. We need to call down the fire of God in a negative sense, the judgment of God on that and on evil and injustice, because Jesus cares about that and he is coming to establish justice once and for all. I don't know if that was clear or not.
No,
Aaron.
I think that's very good.
Okay.
I think that's really good. Okay. We're going to lighten things up now.
Are we? Oh, boy.
Move from judgment and wrath to Pastor Matt. What's the name of your dog? Winnie. Oh.
You gave it away? It's Winnie.
I was just going to say she makes it into a lot of sermons. I think people want to know.
One time.
Really?
One time I brought her up.
I feel like she's an important part
like
of
2 weeks
this
ago.
Church.
2 weeks ago, I think it's the first time I've ever mentioned her in a sermon.
I know the dog.
That I can think of.
But
I might be wrong.
What's her full name?
Oh my goodness, I'm not even going to talk about that. That's a Missy thing. Missy.
This is a perfect.
Look, what everyone has to understand is
Matt loves this dog more than he ever thought he would.
I do. I love this dog. And I'm a huge dog person.
Yeah.
I've always loved dogs.
She's
awesome.
Special.
But she is the opposite kind of dog from what I would have ever chosen. This is Missy's pick. But
I've got a type of dog in my head that you would go for.
I like big dogs.
Yeah.
And then my first dog, and the dog was the most special to me, that even like when I was sick in bed for a year and a half and whatever, like this dog was by my side. When I could only move like 10 feet, she'd move 10 feet. When I could move 40 feet, like when I could finally start walking outside again, she was there with me every step of the way.
Yeah.
She was a German Shepherd Rottweiler crossed with a Border Collie. Really super, super smart. Like the Border Collie, the colors of the Rottweiler. She was the best. So anyways, but I love Winnie just as much. She's just, She's just so great.
Because she might be listening to this podcast.
She might be.
And we do not want her to feel that you
like. Yeah, and it's totally embarrassing. And I just embraced that now. Like I said in that sermon, like Missy and I never in our wildest dreams thought we would live downtown, have no kids, and a dog.
Yeah.
Like that was not the plan. But despite everything, and obviously these are all longer stories, the infertility stuff, everything else, and all that journey. But this is where God has placed us. And oh my goodness, do we ever fit in downtown? Like, and by the way, if you do live in Vancouver, maybe one of the best, easiest ways to meet everybody in this city is just to get a dog and walk around with your dog, because all of a sudden, no one talks to you otherwise. And as soon as you have a dog, everyone thinks you're the greatest person in the world and they just want to meet your dog. And now it's like everyone wants to get their dogs together. Like, for Aaron, it's embarrassing, but I'm telling you, it is a
major evangelistic tool.
Big time. I love our dog. She's the best. And
what's her full name?
I'm not talking about that. It's embarrassing. Okay. It's, well, I don't know. I know that. So we call her Winnie, but Missy's long name is Winifred.
Winifred.
But I've never. Okay. That's all Missy. You cannot
Winifred
shame me.
Winifred Menzel. Yeah, what's her middle name?
I have no idea.
She has one, guaranteed.
I don't know what it is, but Missy probably puts it on Instagram. Missy's Instagram is like, I don't have any social media.
And puppy.
Yeah. And, and I would not post half the stuff that Missy posts.
Winnie is the best dog.
She's awesome.
And anybody who spends time with Winnie wants a dog like that, but she's very well trained. Let's be very honest. That dog knows who's in charge, and it's not her.
And it's not Missy either.
Yeah.
Missy lets her, anyways, let's move on from the dog thing here.
We're going to have a marriage problem pretty soon. Okay. We have a longer question about the name change that came up recently at our family update. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read the whole thing, and then I'm just going to let you speak to whatever part of this question you want.
Okay, great.
And if I don't think it's good,
please,
I'm
going to
poke at it
more. No, if you don't think it's good, just interrupt me.
Okay. Hello.
Hey.
I have a practical question about the name change. First, I want to share two affirmations. Unprompted by any name change leaks, a few months ago, I was struck by the disconnect between the name Westside and our current ministry. So I'm all for this change. Secondly, I am so encouraged by how well the church leaders are handling this change in the prayerful consideration to the new name and the way it is being presented to the members of our body. Thank you for your continued Spirit-led leadership. As for my question, the name Westside has a pretty good reputation. I'm often surprised at how many Christians know of Westside Church. What is the plan to connect people looking for this church after we migrate to the new name? And how can members support this migration? I'm thinking of people who may be relocated at some point and are returning, those who have been on the fence about church, specifically at Westside, and have decided to now attend, and those who used to attend Westside and desire to return to church. So just
go
for it.
Okay, that's a great question. Can I do this, Aaron? I just take a second with this?
Mm-hmm.
And I'll respond to that question, those questions in specific, but just give a little bit of context for anybody who wasn't at the family meeting. You can read one of our elders, Brian Yao, wrote a blog that you can read on there. It's a much longer form of some of this stuff. And we at the family meeting, we discussed all these different things. But just in case you weren't there, like, so this name change is coming from a few different places. Mm-hmm. First, just contextually, like, it's really important that Christians see themselves as missionaries wherever they're placed. Yeah. And one of the first things that a missionary wants to do is contextualize the preaching of the gospel to the culture that they've been placed in, and a big part of that too is identifying where you are, where God has put you in that whole thing. And so the west side of Vancouver is where we were planted from. Norman and Nicole, when they planted Westside in 2005, it was in Kitsilano. When I showed up in 2012, we were on Granville Island. Our office was on Broadway in Cypress, like west side of Vancouver. Then the Lord did this miraculous thing and put us downtown in a really significant space, in a really significant location. And at that point, it was decided to just keep the name Westside, actually largely because of that good reputation that you're talking about, or the questioner is asking about. And I personally always struggled with that a little bit, just because I just didn't think we were being contextual. Like,
yeah.
We're downtown, but we're saying we're on, like, we're called West Side. Mm-hmm. It just didn't make sense to mm-hmm. me. But I understood, like, the reasoning, and, like, West Side had a great reputation, all that sort of stuff. You know, it's been interesting because pastors will reach out. It happened, like, about a year ago, I think. A pastor in the city reached out. They're planting a new church, and it's like, hey, we're going to be planting on the West Side. Are you okay if we call our church West Side? I'm like, of course, because you're actually on the West Side. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't want to hold that over anybody. So the first thing is, it's contextual. It feels really spiritually significant to me that right now we as a body say yes to where God has placed us, into the vision, the mission and vision that He's given us to be where and when we are, and that we stop calling ourselves by where we used to be, but where we are today is a big deal. Mm-hmm. So the first reason is kind of contextual. Second, just spiritually, you know, we see it in scripture, like the importance of name changes. When God, like, will call someone to have their name change, it often is just the clarification of a spiritual mission, vision, calling. I think that our mission and vision as a church, our mission, vision, values have become a lot clearer. Our mission is to know Jesus, make Jesus known.
Right.
You know, the vision for how that's going to work and what that's going to look like in the time and space He's placed us. This specific location that we're in the basement right now of the center, 777 Homer Street. It's called the center, right in the middle of downtown core, right across from the library, like a beautiful building. The same architect who did the library did this building. Mm-hmm. You know, we got a big glowing cross on this thing. Like, it's a really significant space in the city. It gets used. The city comes into this space all the time. And it's just, it's a very interesting place to be. And spiritually, we think as elders that our mission, vision, values have really been clarified to the point now where the things we're walking in, we feel that the identifying that new season by saying yes to where He's placed us is a really important thing. So the name that we feel led to go with as elders is Center Church. Mm-hmm. It's been interesting to hear, you know, I hear that affirmation in the question. I've had several times now people say that exact same thing to me just over the last, you know, few months or year or whatever. All of a sudden it's like the name doesn't quite fit. And I just think that's a spiritual affirmation that one spirit is really working in the body in this. I've also heard the same thing with when I actually give the name Center Church, be like, I thought it would be Center Church. Like, I've had that like several times now too. It just makes sense. It's kind of that name that, like, you know, we're in the center of the city. This building is known as the Center for Performing Arts in Vancouver. But when we've prayed for, over the course of literally years, I think it was 4 years ago or so now that I first started talking with elders about this, we've just been praying about it. And then over the last, you know, 18 months, it's become more and more important to us, and to now where it's like, now we want to do it. So it's the name, the center, like it just, for us, as we've prayed into that, or Center Church, as we've prayed into that, it really speaks to, first of all, that we want to be people who say, like, the main thing is the main thing. We're just doing one thing here, and that is that keeping Jesus at the center. Like, our mission to know Him and make Him known, to know Jesus, make Jesus known, that's the central thing. His presence is a central thing. That habitation of God, His presence moving in power among His people, that's the central thing that we want to be about. Center also speaks to our desire to be a place that brings the church together. I was so encouraged by another pastor in the city not long ago when I was talking about this, and he asked me, well, what name are you guys thinking? And I just said, oh, Center Church. And he was like, oh my goodness, I love that so much, because you guys are always bringing the church together. Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. Right away how he saw it and what he connected it to, which was beautiful. And then lastly, just like, we really feel super called as a church to, you know, often churches will be either word churches or spirit churches. Mm-hmm. And so part of this too just speaks to that convergence of word and spirit.
Yeah.
And so those are things we've highlighted, bringing those things together, that we feel really called to this moment, to this name change, and to that name. And so, it's been a fun process to go through it, an exciting one and a special one for sure. So the question as far as like the reputation of Westside, I mean, I love that person is seeing that. Our desire, so for, I'd say probably two things. First, I think the reputation of a church, we need to be really careful that we never associate that with like a brand. Yeah. You know, it's like like the good reputation of Westside is not lost with when we lose the name Westside. The reputation comes from the reputation of Jesus' people, where and when we are. Yeah. And so I would want to say that first, like, hey, this the reputation of this church is going to continue to grow and get healthier as we, as Jesus' people, continue to know him and make him known in this city. So I'd want to say that first. But I still appreciate the question. And one of the things we're working with the company who's designing some things for us, we're getting prepared. You know, we have the AGM coming up where we'll vote on this. But we're aiming at a lot of continuity. I would love to see continuity between, you know, even the brand and what Center Church is going to look like and feel like versus where we've been. I won't be fully in control of all that. We have a team of people that are going to be looking at stuff. But we're aiming for continuity. And I would also just say, I think there's something really important for us as a church. A church is not a man-made organization. It's a living organism. For us to actually let go of the good reputation we've had and to allow God to establish a good reputation in the present. For me, that's significant. And then I like the evangelistic heart too. What about people who've left and they come back and they come looking for it? We'll be in the same place. Like, they'll still find a church here. They'll find, I mean, I've been here for quite a while, but they'll find other people who've been around, like, if there's any relational connections. But I would also say to that, like, we've just got to, I love the heart of that, but also we have to release people to the care of he doesn't need a church, any one church or a church with a particular name to reach a particular person. The Spirit of the living God is going to be faithful to meet any who are knocking, asking, seeking after him. And so I would just want to alleviate those concerns. Westside is not going to be the savior. Center Church is not going to be the savior. We actually don't think that highly of ourselves. But this feels like a very spiritually significant moment for us. So that's kind of where, and just to be clear too, if anyone has more questions on that, maybe we can do a separate pod one of these times over, like, in the next coming weeks and talk more about it. But would love to talk about it more. I've been taking questions from people personally and having conversations and all of that. And that was the intention of having a family meeting a couple weeks ago. So we could have some time to just talk about it more.
Yeah, that's really good. This is very exciting.
Yes.
So we will be addressing more and more of this in the days.
Yeah.
Okay. Great answer.
Oh, good.
There's more to be said, but we can.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks for joining us this week. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And as always, don't forget to send in your questions about theology, faith, life, and walking with Jesus. We will see you soon.